Time for a Sting Gang podcast as we talk volleyball with Stephanie Radecki. The Mustangs have started out the season 4-2 after going on a three-game road trip this past weekend, breezing past Bethel after playing two white-knuckle matches against Augustana and Fort Hays State in the Tiger Classic. And I want to talk about all of that, but I got to take care of some unfinished business because we recorded the podcast last week, and then about 5 minutes after we recorded, I found out Elena Guerrero had been named LSC Setter of the Week.
Yes.
Which is quite an accomplishment.
Huge accomplishment
for us. And she deserved it.
Yes.
No doubt about it.
Yes.
But it has been so rare for a Midwestern State player to get recognized as an LSC Player of the Week in volleyball. How rare has it been? You have to go back to like 2016 to find the last player. So that's just one indication of how far the program has come, and it's also an indication of how well Elena's playing.
Yeah, I think it's an indication of how well Elena's playing, but also how well our team is performing. You know, obviously, as a setter, putting up assists per set, you have to be really efficient, put the ball up, distribute the ball well, but also your hitters have to perform. So, you know, we talked about that at practice, and I can't really explain how exciting it was. You know, when Cameron came in my office and shared the news with us, it was extremely exciting. I think it was a big milestone.
I think
for
we
got to
give Cameron some credit.
I think we should give Cameron a lot of credit.
When his predecessor was here, we went almost a decade without a player of the week.
I know, what's up with that? No. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty exciting. I think that it was just a really big honor for Elena and our program.
No, and I like what you said because it's a great point, especially with Setter of the Week.
Yeah.
In order for her to get that award, her teammates have to play well around her. She doesn't get the assist without a kill.
Right. And you also, in order to be considered for that award, your team has to put up wins.
Yeah.
You know, you're not really giving a Setter of the Week to a team that went 0-4. So you really have to produce.
It's tough in the LSC in any sport to get that award if you don't win.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not saying it never happens, but it's rare that somebody gets Player of the Week without winning.
Yeah.
So it was pretty exciting for Elena, pretty exciting for MSU volleyball. And then you go on this road trip, you participate in the Tiger Classic, and then proceed to give me an ulcer. I can't imagine matches, well, I guess the one against Fort Hays could have gone to a fifth set, I guess, but both matches were so tight.
Yes, it was a crazy day. What an amazing facility, great atmosphere, wonderful place to play, very welcoming environment. The fans were amazing. The staff was amazing. The teams were outstanding. It was just a really great place to be. And our team did a really nice job competing, you know, and putting ourselves in position to win sets. This early in the season is a really good indication of where we could be if we continue to improve, which is obviously the goal. So I was really proud of the way we competed Friday. You know, it's you as a coach, you always want the win, and you always are thinking about what else we need to do to improve and what we need to work on. But to be able to compete with those teams the way that we did, and they're very traditionally strong programs, great coaches, impressive athletes. So it was just a great test for our team this early to help prepare us for conference.
So what else do you need to do, and what do you need to work on?
I think we talked about this last week, but we need to continue to work on our blocking. You know, it's not necessarily something that you're going to score a ton of points on. You know,
what's a good number?
Maybe some of the bigger programs at the Division I level are going to put up a ton of blocking numbers. But, you know, if we could average between 1 and 2 blocks per set, that's ideal. But I think the bigger stat right now that we don't keep is how many times our block is being used or not doing their job. And that's something we definitely need to clean up right now. Defensively, we're digging a lot of balls. I think we're passing the ball extremely well. There were a few sets on Friday where we actually had to address the fact that we were passing the ball so well and still not siding out. and that's just definitely not normally the case. Like, you usually struggle siding out because your pass isn't there. First contact isn't there. But, you know, we definitely have the hitters. We have the tools that we need. So it's just crisping up on that. And, you know, I think in volleyball, you know, you've kind of accepted the fact that you're not always in system. But the more you can be in system, the better you are and the more effective your offense is. So we just need to keep working on that.
And then you go to Bethel, and you could have been feeling sorry for yourself playing such good competition in such a great environment and coming falling mm-hmm. just short, but you didn't. You take care of business. You breeze past Bethel.
Bethel's good. Their facility
makes the win even better.
Awesome. They had some great crowds, a great crowd support there. Obviously, some people that have been supporting that program for a really long time, just loyal fans. Athletic team, the only thing that I think we had a big edge on is just passing and ball control. But outside of that, when they could get the ball to their hitters, holy crap. It was really impressive. They're a very strong program, so impressive team.
So a quality win for Midwestern State to go into Bethel and get that.
And we served really well. We served really tough, which in a gym like that really can help you a lot. And so that made a big difference.
So why does the environment – why do you say that in a gym like that?
Well, I mean, Jenna Redding was feeling her serve. Like, it was just dropping fast, to the point where she served one that hit the back wall because she was so confident that it was going to drop in the court. We got a good laugh at that at the end of the match.
At the end of a stroke set victory, you got a good laugh out of that.
But, I think just feeling comfortable in the gym, having good crowd support. We had some parents there, and our team was able to create some noise, which was really nice. And I don't know, it was just a fun place to play after Friday playing in a fun place, but not getting the result we wanted. It was kind of a nice way to finish that road trip.
When you talk about an environment, what makes a great environment for volleyball?
Well, I think the biggest thing is a crowd, and a crowd that's not afraid to cheer. You don't have to have 5,000 people in the stands, but you could have 1,000, and if they're not clapping or engaged, then it doesn't really create an environment, right? So I think it's just having some fans there, having some people that aren't afraid to cheer, clap, make some noise, and then obviously you gotta have some good music, and you gotta have some good lighting, and you gotta have a good microphone.
A good PA announcer.
So I was trying not to go there. I didn't want it to sound bad.
I mean, you can have a good microphone, but if the announcer stinks, the microphone's not going to help.
Yeah,
much.
I know. We just both facilities this weekend just had a really nice voice. Like the voice of Midwestern State. You got to have a good voice. You can just create a great atmosphere with a good voice.
It's such a fun sport, and when the crowd is in it on every touch. It really is something to be a part of. You'll be on the road this week for the Lone Star Challenge. So you're headed to Portales, right?
No, not this year.
That's where you have gone the last couple of years. But this year you're headed south.
I feel like Portales is going to miss us.
Portales will miss
you. Yes. No, we're headed south. We're headed to Kingsville.
And you'll take on A&M International and Kingsville. So you've got Dust Devils and Javelinas waiting for you down there at the Steinke Center. What are you expecting to see this week?
I mean, some more great volleyball. Two really strong teams. Kingsville's been traditionally very strong in our conference, and International has been really strong the last few years. So we're going to definitely have a battle.
It's interesting that you mentioned those programs. Is South Texas a hotbed for volleyball?
All of Texas is a hotbed for volleyball.
No sarcasm. You're serious.
No, I'm serious. I mean, Texas volleyball is legit. It's really strong in every area of Texas. So, I think it's one of the things that makes the Lone Star Conference great. There's so many players that grew up playing club in Texas, high school in Texas. Like, it's just extremely strong volleyball. I mean, there are other areas in the country that have great volleyball, but Texas is definitely one of them.
What would be comparable to Texas? I'm guessing California?
California, I think, is really strong. Minnesota is really strong. I think Florida's a decent state. Maybe not completely surrounding the map, but there's
and maybe more beach
areas.
Volleyball in Florida?
There's definitely a lot of beach volleyball in Florida, yeah.
Yeah, just to get, that was just that a wild
sense.
Guess.
That makes sense. I don't know. It was a big stretch there.
Yeah. and it's interesting that you say Minnesota, because you think Minnesota, you think hockey. So they do pretty well in the indoor sports. In the wintertime, they're trying to get inside.
Yeah, they definitely do.
It's interesting you say volleyball. I know that you know, like Nebraska and Penn State have these fantastic programs. Yeah. So is that Midwest region is?
Yeah, I think Midwest is just really strong. You know, just that area, North Dakota, South Dakota have some strong regions. Iowa has some strong volleyball. Wisconsin definitely has some strong players, a lot of strong clubs.
And the United States, obviously, when you look at volleyball around the world, the United States is as good as anybody,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I bet Karch Karai would say that.
I'm sure Karch Karai would say that. Is there something specific you're looking for out of your team that maybe you haven't seen in the first six matches that you'd like to see in these two matches?
Well, we definitely have to be able to finish sets. You know, obviously the goal is to always be in position to win a set. There were quite a few on Friday we lost by just a couple points. So there's obviously some positives there, but along the same lines, then you have to kind of find those people that are going to finish the sets. And if we're going to be able to create that chemistry that just refuses to lose those sets. So I think that comes in practice. Like I definitely think that we need to be more consistent in practice with our effort and our energy and focus. And when we can start to do that, then that's going to translate into sets, which translates into matches.
And that's a mentality, right?
Yes, I mean, absolutely.
It's a mindset more than physical errors that keep you from winning those 22-21 sets.
Yeah, and, you know, we have quite a few new players, so they're still learning the system and learning how we coach and how we train. It's still pretty early, so it's just a matter of can we just kind of think about what our focus is and what our task at hand is, and then we can really just get better at those things, and then every day that just starts to build and improving as a team.
Who would you say is your most improved player over these first six matches?
Well, I want to mention two people. I would mention Jaden Wright because, you know, I think she had a really frustrating season last year. She didn't really see the court. And then this year she's kind of made some big adjustments, and she came in and earned a starting position in this past weekend, you know, especially Friday. Well, and Saturday, I would have said she was one of our best players in terms of production. She did a great job. She put up great numbers, but she also came up with big plays when we needed them. And then I would say Georgia Sanchez, you know, as a true freshman coming in, and we talked about her a little bit last week and how we felt like she was more of a true middle, and she's starting on the right side for us. And as a freshman, not only being a freshman, but playing in, she's played right side before, so it's not like she hasn't, but just playing in a position that you're not full time in. And being able to compete with these teams like Augustana and Fort Valley State, like I thought she had really good composure, and I thought she came up with some big swings, and, you know, I just really think she's doing a nice job.
Do you like playing these conference matches that are not conference games?
I'm kind of indifferent. Like, I'm excited about playing these two teams this weekend, but I think the whole conference in terms of volleyball, we kind of go head-to-head at every head coach's meeting about having these matches. So I'm still kind of on the fence.
I'm not used to the indifference, Stephanie Radecki.
I'm sorry. I mean, it's so much it's good for our programs to get these matches in, because with how spread out we are and how there's not a ton of other D2 schools to play, a lot of the other conferences are in their conference schedule already, so it'd be hard to schedule matches anyway.
And you'll be in your conference schedule when you get to D.L. Ligon Coliseum on Friday, September 26th to take on Western New Mexico, and then Sol Ross will be here the following day. So
yeah.
Conference play is just about here. The Lone Star Challenge is first, though. We'll talk about those games coming up at Ligon Coliseum next week on the podcast. We want to see you at Ligon Coliseum on both Friday and Saturday, the 26th and 27th. And we want you to tell your friends about the Staying Game podcast. Stephanie, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's Stephanie Radecki talking Midwestern State Volleyball on the Staying Game podcast. I'm Pete Stein saying so long.